So in the first, when last we met, before Yom Tov, right, we encountered one source of Iser when two foodstuffs come together in a Tarovus. We refer to this, remember, as Atzmus HaIsur. By that term, we meant Guf HaIsur, right, the Chepsa Isur, the object itself. For instance, a piece of nevela or a teaspoon of gravy made from Basar Behema Tamea. So we learned that Mina Torah, in the Gufa Iser can be negated by the presence of a majority of Heter. So today we're going to begin to study the second source of Iser that may render a mixture prohibited when it's present. We refer to this source as Ta'am, which I think is best translated as flavor. I think it actually has a much broader definition. To explore that definition, we turn to sugya in the fifth perek of Maseches Avodah Zarah, perek Sofer Sapoel, and it's on Daf Samech Zayin Amud Aleph. It's three lines from the bottom of the oven. We're going to have occasion to visit this Amud again when we reach the question of Nosein Tam Lifgam B'Siyata Tishmaya. So Omar Rabbi Abahu, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol She Ta'amo Umama Sho Asur, and I read like the brackets, for Lokin Olav. So Rabbi Abahu is one of Rabbi Yochanan's most important Talmidim, cites a Memra in his name, where both the Ta'am and the Mamashus of an Isur are present, Ta'amo Umama Sho, in the required quantities, which aren't listed here, but they're like implicit, right? Okay? It's not only forbidden to consume the tarovus, but one who does incurs malchus. So before we attack that half of the maimra, maybe not even today, let's read the second clause. Since when a maimra sets two clauses in apposition, we define each in contradistinction to the other, right? Parenthetically, Rabbi Yochanan does first supply a measurement that defines the first clause. Where do you have tamo umamasho v'zeu kizayis b'chdei achilas pras? If how much isur does one have to consume to qualify as tamo umamasho and in karmakos? If one eats a kizayis of isur within the amount of time it takes to eat a pras, a loaf. So we'll leave this time span undefined at this point and perhaps return to it later. Now on to the second half of the maimra. Tamo v'lo mamasho asur v'ein lo kinolav. So if there's only flavor but not mamashus of the isur, then it is asur v'ein lo kinolav, but there's no malchus. And there's a final clause that's important, just not now for our discussion today. V'imriba tam lifgam mutar. If the Iser added a flavor that's actually detrimental to the overall flavor of the Tarovus, then the Tarovus is Heter. Okay? The Gemara is interested in this clause because the subject of the entire sukkah here is Nosein Tam Lifgam, which is going to be the source of much Heter, by the way, in the end, in many shadows. But that's not why we're in Maseches Avodah Zarah today. So we'll stick with the apposition of the two major clauses, tamo umamasho versus tamo velo mamasho. So what's the difference between them? Tamo umamasho incurs malchus. Tamo velo mamasho does not. Now, however we may define tamo and mamasho, one, our initial attempt to understand this maimra might be to say that where there's malchus, we have an Iser min haTorah,
right,
and where there isn't, we have only an Iser d'Rabbanan.
Right.
Right? That'd be our initial take. So we take the maimra in this way, then our sukkah and Avodah Zarah can be understood as a source for maintaining that tam ki ikar, which we're taking to be equivalent to tamo velo mamasho, right, just flavor, that is ascribing the same prohibitive qualities of the Iser itself to its flavor, is only drabanan. Right? So we might have a source that says that in shar isurin, namely non basar b'chalav, tamo v'lo mamasho, or which were taken to be equivalent to tam ki ikar, lav dioraisa. This is a reasonable explanation of the Maimer, right? Could mean this, right? As we've explained it thus far, right? Now, if this were the only relevant sugya related to tam ki ikar, it could possibly serve as a suitable basis for psak halacha for a bunch of reasons. Well, I'm very interested in klalei psak and in understanding those, because I want you to be morei hora and not memorizers of deos, right? Rav Eliashiv said this, discuss it that. No, that's not what we should be doing, right? To understand la suke hilchasa aliba dishmaisa, right? Understand the gemara as a pay, the halacha as a payrush of the gemara. Why do I say that? What are the reasons that would be markers for me that this could be halacha? Well, one, it's stated in a maimra, not in a shakla v'tarya, right? So maimra is a halachic ma'amar, right? Remember, the we're going to see in the Gemara in Kol HaBasar, we're going to see when we get to waiting between milk and meat, we'll see who tani la, who amar la, who he taught it, he was moser halacha, and then he gave the tradition, and then he explained it halachically. He applied it, right? And a mora does maimra. Maybe that's what the Gemara means when it says, Ravina v'ravashe sof ho'ra'a ninhu. After them come the Sivoraim, right? And the Amoraim then could be the end of the halachic period, right? The saying of maimra, or the saying of halachic statement. So one, it's in a maimra, and it's ascribed to a major authority in the name of one of his primary talmidim, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, which we're going to see a lot of halachic maimros in that form. And it's cited, furthermore, in a sugya dealing specifically with the halachos of Tama Disura. It's not something that a Gavorche, by the way, they mention, right? So there are lots of reasons to take this very seriously. Okay. However, there are other relevant sukkahs too. So let's look at one very pivotal piece of the puzzle, and for this we have to go to Perek Kol HaBasar, Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. This Mishnah, God willing, will occupy us for some time in Siman Tzadi Beis. For now, we're just going to read it simply. Tipas Cholov, Shenafla Ala Hatikha. I got this drop of milk that falls onto a piece of meat. Whether the piece is mitzasa, betokav rotev or not, we're going to talk about all that, Rashi and the Re, when we get to this, right? Whether or not just the top half is in the rotev or whatever, that's not our reading right now, okay? But let's picture the piece that is in the pot, a kli rishon al gabei ha'esh, and it's falling in, right? And you can picture the standing by the pot is the Jewish version of Homer Simpson, and he's saying, no, right? The drop is falling. Okay. So he's got a chance to stir it or not to stir it. So Mishnah gives you two cases. Im yesh babanos sein tam boso chaticha, aser. If the milk gives off ta'am in that drop, then there's baser b'chalav. Ni eras ha'gdeira, if he sees it dropping, he's minai eras ha'gdeira miyad, and he distributes the drop throughout the entire pot. We don't know, is that bitul isa atkila? We'll see this sugya, right? Im yesh ba b'no sein tam boso kedera aser. So if the drop of milk is distributed through the entire contents of the pot, then you're mishaer the nesinas tam. If you're svardi, you don't mishaer, you give it to a kvela. If you're Ashkenazi, you go mishaer according to the
numbers.
According to the numbers, right? Exactly. So But we see the difference between the two. But what happens in both cases? The shear is the sinistah, right?
Is there a book then?
Yes.
Just in terms of, I don't have to get off on a tangent if you don't want to, but just in terms of the way you're reading Yirat the Kedera, you're reading it as if he sees a drop and then he actively, seeing a drop, is Niyor, and stirs the drop.
So I don't want to imply anything about Bitul Yisulat Bila.
Right, that's like, otherwise you get the problem of
Yirat the Kedera. Yes, I don't want to imply anything. It may just be that he saw it falling and he was in the process of stirring.
That's how we used to read this.
Right, it could very well be that. As well, but I want to leave all that indeterminate so that we have makom lehit kaderba, right?
Okay.
Okay? Right. You're absolutely right. Okay? Now, the Mishnah draws a distinction between milk that falls on a single piece of meat versus when the milk's distributed through the entire pot. And we'll hopefully master the nuances of this Mishnah in the future. For now, we're only interested in the machlokas Abayi v'Rava cited here in the Gemara. Abaye offers an argument. Amar Abaye, Tamo velo mamasho ba'alma d'oraisa. Ba'alma means non-basar b'chol, but in all cases, in general. Tamo velo mamasho, or as we're understanding it, ta'am ki'ikar. Abaye seems to argue that ta'am ki'ikar in general, namely in b'shari suri, which is the way we refer to everything other than basar b'chol, must be d'oraisa. His reasoning is as follows. D'isal kadatach d'rabbanan mi basar b'chalav mai tama lo gamrina. D'chidushu ichidushu afal gav d'leke no sentam nami. Underlying Abaye's argument is the presumption that everyone agrees that tam ki ikar for basar b'chalav is midi raisa. Seems, Gemara assumes, leis ma d'palik. Question is, ba'alma b'shari suri. That's what we're concerned with. Abaye contends that there's only one reason why we wouldn't analogize from basar b'chalav to every other iser as well. If we learn it from basar b'chalav, and by the way, one of the major topics that I'm interested in, I gave an entire shiur to the summer dedicated only to, where do we learn that you can learn from one thing to another? That's all what halacha is based on. I'm interested in the conceptual basis for that, right? In a positivist legal system, a command-based legal system, God didn't say it. He didn't say it specifically, right? The Torah says, how do I know I can analogize? Where does it say I can analogize? I know where it says that the Rabbanan can extend the law. That's the Tanakh of the Rabbanan. But how do I know that I can decide a d'oraisa on the basis of logical reasoning? How can I say the Torah said this, and therefore it meant everything that it implies logically as well? Okay, unless there's a reason not to. Okay, so I'm very interested in that. Yes.
We just flesh out just clearly. How do we see from Abaye that he's assuming that basar b'chalav is midiraita according to all? I mean, how is the notion been mentioning?
Well, he says yesh sakadatach derabbanan. The isakadatam derabbanan mis basar b'chalav my tama lo gamrina. So it must be that it's, why don't we learn it from basar b'chalav, which is the oraisa?
Okay.
Okay, right. That's what I'm reading.
Right, okay, fair enough. Okay.
Okay, all right, good. It's always good to render these things explicit, right? You know, okay? I hate reading with the eyes, you know? And when you assume stuff, you know, you got to be able to explain it, right? You got to be able to explain it, okay? Now, dechidushu, so the only reason he contends there's only one reason why we wouldn't analogize from basar b'chalav to every other yisur as well, because basar b'chalav is a chiddush. Okay, what does that mean? It means a chiddush is a novelty, something exceptional that's outside the rubric of the halachic system. It doesn't participate in the halachic system. It's like gezeiros hakasuv almost, something special. It says this, That's what you do. It's not analogizable because it's outside the system. It's an exception that proves the other rule. Okay? So he says, otherwise, if I learned it from Basar B'Chalav, why wouldn't I conclude to everything else? It must be that it's a Kiddush. The Gemara doesn't specify on what basis one would consider Basar B'Chalav to be a Kiddush, but the Rishonim do, and we'll spend, God willing, lots of time talking about it. One suggestion is that a Tarovas of Basar B'Chalav isn't like other instances of Iser V'Heter, because both items, it's not Iser V'Heter, both items are actually Heter. Basar B'Chalav is Heter V'Heter. Right? So it might be that because we're not looking, it's the combination of the two, and it's not Isur in Heter, it might be that it's different. Right? The Isur of Basar B'Chalav is effected through the combination of two entities, both of which individually are kosher. Okay? In fact, we're going to discuss whether the Isur of Basar B'Chalav applies at all to non-kosher meat, to Basar Behema Tameya. Right? In basar, in chalav behema tahora, or chalav behema tameya in chalav behema, in basar behema tahora, right? We're going to decide whether or not there's even an iser of basar b'chalav dioraisa, right? In that, we'll see a very interesting machlokas or difference of opinion in Perush between the Taz and his father-in-law, the Bach. Right, so we'll see a very interesting. Okay, now, however, identifying this, by the way, as the chiddush and Basar B'Chalav is difficult because it isn't the only institution in halacha in the Torah that is heter v'heter. What else can you find? Kelei Akarim, for instance, you have the grape seed kernels and the grain kernels. Both of them are mutter. They get mixed together, right? You have an Iser D'Oraisa. So aren't the kernels of grapeseed and grain also individually permitted? So this isn't our main focus right now, so we'll leave the nature of the Chiddush for the time being, but we'll assume that it's a Chiddush. The thrust of Abaye's argument boils down to this. We either analogize from Basar B'Chalav to the rest of the Torah, or we don't. If we do, then Tam Ki'ikar is the Oraisa, the Shari Surin. If we don't, then it isn't. And presumably, the only reason not to analogize is that it's a Chiddush exceptional. It cannot be exceptional, though. It has the one characteristic Abaye argues that applies to all of Iser B'Heter. It depends upon Nisinas Tam. As we see in the Mishnah, if the drop of milk conveys its flavor throughout the chatichas abasar, it's a surah. The use of the standard of no saint tam, conveyance of flavor, indicates that basar b'chalav is a regular part of the halachic system, and therefore a proper logical source for tamo umama shoba alma dioraisa. That's Abaye's argument.
So he's assuming if buzmuli chidush, any remnant at all would make it asur.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know why he's making that assumption, though. I always found I'm very troubled every time I come to the Sukkah.
Well, do we have...
Oh, it's a Chiddush, and therefore anything at all must make it a problem.
So let me say, Ben,
why. It's a Chiddush. All that matters is Tom. Why? Because Tom is logical, therefore it can't be a Chiddush.
No, but so then if Tom is...
Chiddush must be irrational, I don't get it.
If Tom is logical, then why does the Gemara in Paragita Nusha go to pains to find a source for it?
If Tom is logical.
Yeah. What is the source for Tom?
That was Mishras, not Mishras.
Well, that's Tom Gikar. But what's the source for the shear of Tom?
Zoro
B'Shela, yeah. Right? So there's a sugya of Zoro B'Shela that says there's a Torah source for, right?
Tom, so if it was really logical, what do you need a Torah source for? It's just the Svara. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So you want to even say that even Tom itself is not necessarily a logical thing. So again, to come back to the assumptions, he wants to assume that if it's really a Chiddush, Tom should be absolutely relevant.
So, and let's step back.
All that should matter is just any mamash whatsoever.
I'm so happy that you bring this up. Okay? Because let's just step back and just say, sometimes we fall into the following confusion. Something is familiar to us. We know Tom, right? So we assume that it's logical, right? But step back and say, right? That's why I started, that's exactly what I was after last time, right? If you can think back before all those hakafot and all the stuff that you ate, Okay? So if you can still think back, that's why I started out by saying, I have an atzmut ha'isur. Right? I have the chetzet isur, is also. Where, how do I get the tam?
So
it says in Re'e, you can't eat this. How does it say, where does it, is it a question of Tanah, it's a question of whatever? It's, I'm not allowed to eat something. Maybe I shouldn't be allowed to eat it, b'kol shehu. That would be illogical to me, that it should be b'kol shehu. It's aser, it's isur, I can't eat it. Why should it be, you know? Now, latchila, maybe I can't eat it if it's less than a shiur, right? But I'm just saying, why should I only be obligated if there's tam? Is it hana sagaro? Is that what it is?
Unless you see tam as a manifestation of there being some sort of mamashut there. If you construe tam as there is some remnant of mamashut there, then the tam just becomes an expression of mamish isur, and therefore zeri tam is like you're eating mamish, and therefore asur. That seems pretty logical.
And by the way, I could say that maybe, just to, in your defense, maybe that's why they use the frame tamo mamasho, tamo below mamasho.
Correct.
Except, though, that they definitely had the notion of completely disembodied tam.
Agreed. And I'm with you. I'm agreed. But I'm saying, in theory, you could shoot like that. That would make a lot of sense. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. That would be logical that I just
of mamash. Yeah, we will at some point come back to the sugya and deal with the machlokas between Rashi and the other Rishonim as to whether or not if I have chelev that was nimoach in a soup, is that considered tamo velo mamasho, or is that tamo v'u mamasho? Right. So that'll be part of your, observation here. It's less a question, more an observation. Part of that will depend on how we explain tamo u mamasho, tamo velo mamasho, right?
So just to understand where Abaye, the bottom line of Abaye, though, in the sugya, he's assuming that if basar v'chalav really was a chidush,
right,
then tam should be non-operative. All that should matter is anything at all falls in, it should be asur.
Right.
And if we're not saying that, we're saying really tam is operative, and therefore basar v'chalav is not a chidush, and therefore you can learn out from basar v'chalav, and therefore tam kikur is mitaraita.
That's the thrust of the sugya. That's the thrust of the sugya. Okay? That's clearly the thrust of the sugya. The questions you're asking are meta questions about the sugya, how could I understand it? But that's clearly the thrust of the sugya. Okay? With me, Professor Dubin? Good. Okay. I just wanted to get your name on the tape. Now people know you were here. Okay. Which is good, because you can use it as an alibi if you, got the bit you needed one. Okay.
There's another Professor Dubin out there.
Is
so,
there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right, now, how do you overturn such an argument? By finding a reason specific to basar v'chalav that would entail nesinas tam as a standard, right? It's not because it participates in the general halakhic system. It's because it has something special that applies only to basar v'chalav, that it's coincidence. It also requires nesinas tam, just like other isur v'heter, but it's not because it... the halachic system, it's because of something special. What is that? In other words, if there's another reason why basar v'chalav would revolve around tam, and not just because it's part of isur v'heter in general, then we can still maintain that basar v'chalav is a chiddush. And Rava has such a reason. Amar le Rava. Derech bishul asur tovah. The reason that isur basar v'chalav also depends upon the sinas tam may have nothing to do at all with the general systemic requirements of isur v'heter, but rather because of the very nature of basar v'chalav, derech bishul asra torah. Isur basar v'chalav, dioraisa, is effected only via an act of bishul. And that is, in fact, the halacha. We'll see that when we get to Siman Kuf A, God willing, which are not far away, by the way, because after we do the foundational principles, basically all we have are the exceptions, the rabbinic exceptions. Beria, Chatika, Rialis, Kabeba, Dover Shiashul Matirin, right? All we have are those exceptions, right? So that will go, those are just definitional, right? So we will be making Derech HaMelech soon. It's very important to spend a lot of time in the beginning on concept, right? Okay. So derech bishul asra tovah. So therefore, if you mix the basar v'chalav through an act of shriya, you know that if you shoreh something, if you soak it, may es la'es for 24 hours, then the isur, it's as if you cooked it. Because kavush kemevushal dami, right?
That's the derabanan, though, right?
What?
It's
only the derabanan. Well, yeah, but it's only, but here's the point. In basar v'cholav, there's not an Easter d'oraisa of basar v'cholav. Why? Because
derech
bishul, that's what I'm talking about. Right. You know, it's how you say it, right? It's how you put it together, right? So therefore, the prima gutting will define kvisha as, it's not nevashel, it's mavliya umaflit.
Right.
It causes things to be imbued and it causes them to come out. Kvisha, the process of soaking things in water for 24 hours or in a sharp liquid for the amount of time, kadesh yardia, right? That process causes, effects an exchange of ta'am from one thing to the other. But it's very different. Basar v'cholav is very different. I have an Easter basar v'cholav that sits on a kli rishon even for a minute. As a matter of fact, that's where we get the shear from the Gemara's words, is where you get the shear for kvisha. It says, it's a chiddush, the itaru le kol kule yame. If I soaked it for a whole day, right, it still wouldn't be an usher d'oraisa, wouldn't be usher, right? But if I cook it even for a minute, it's usher. Okay, right. So derech bishul asra Torah. Okay. Isur basar b'cholav is effected only via an act of bishul. So the very essence of the act of bishul is what? It's eruv ta'amim through the application of a heat source. Why do we cook soup? Why not just take cold meat, cold vegetables, and then just put it in hot water and eat it? Why do we cook it? So that the meat and the vegetables convey their ta'am through the... I've been told that's why people cook soup. I myself am only a consumer of soup, not a cooker.
Not a taster.
I'm a taster, but I'm not. I consume it, but I don't actually make it. But I've been told by those people who are expert in it that the reason that we cook is in order to convey ta'am. Okay. Now, please note that I don't not cook because of. You know, I'm not a helpful husband. I'm very machmir myself that I have a chashash that kalim or kleisha, and therefore would be us. So that's why I don't clean the dishes or help in the kitchen. It's from frumkeit. It's not a lack of respect for my wife. But, I include that just in case she listens to these. I don't know if she's listening. Okay. Now. The danger with my wife is she's heard me answer so many shalos that she thinks that she can. She always says, "Oh, let me tell you, my neighbor." She says, "Let me tell you what I think, but I'll ask him." You know, and you know what really upsets me is she's usually right. Although I do point out, and it's important, I did ask when I first learned years and years and years ago the sugya of kashering liver. I asked my wife's grandmother how to kasher liver. She's just like the shitos harishonim. Exactly, you know. So there's what Professor Soloveitchik Shlita calls a mimetic tradition in halacha, right? An oral tradition of passing down practice. Okay, now. So the very act of bishul we define as eruv tam al yedei chom kli rishon. So basar v'cholav may very well be a chiddush then, even though it shares the same din of Shior Nesinas Tam with Yisr V'Heter. So Abaye's argument by Rav is overturned. Right? Okay?
Just to clarify.
Yes.
Rava isn't really taking on Abaye's
issue. Let's just say it that way first. We'll come back to another way. We're going to learn like the Tosfos later. You're about to say the Tosfos.
Okay, fine.
Yes. Okay, I want to first establish that this is consistent with what we just said in the other, okay, or maybe it isn't. So again, this is a great moment for Psak Halacha. We know that in only 6 cases, and there could be a 7th as well, does the Halacha follow Abaye in a dispute with Rava. So whatever Rava says is going to be Halacha, except in Ya'al Kigal, right? Okay? Okay, the letters Yal Kagam, Si Rashi, and Kedushin, Nun Beis, Amud Beis, and Tosfos there for an enumeration of the cases. Yehu Shalomidas, Eitz Omeim, right, etc. So Machlokas is what the Lamed is between Rashi, Tosfos, and the Chachmei Narvona. You know, you can look at all.
Generally, follow Rava over Abaye?
We follow Rava over Abaye, except in those six cases. And those six cases where we follow Abaye do not include Tom Kikar. So whatever Rava says is going to be the halacha. So we got Rabbi Yochanan, and we got another one of the big guys, Rava. Okay? So there is something riding on this discussion for halacha, right? So what do we have so far? This is like the essence of my sheet and learning, okay? So this is exactly what I'm interested in, right? Rabbi Yochanan in Maseches Avodah Zarah says there's no Malkos for Tamo Veloma Masho, and Rava maintaining here that we may not analogize from Basar B'Cholov to other Isuri. So the two are consistent. We have a nice coherent Shita, right? Tamo Veloma Masho Ba'alma is not the Oraisa, since Basar B'Cholov is indeed a Chiddush. And therefore, there are no Malkos for Tamo Veloma Masho. It all makes sense, right? One nice Shita. It's not that easy. It's one nice Shita. Okay. Have we therefore answered the question? Is Tam Ki Ikar B'Shar Yisurin only to Rabbanan? Let's not be too hasty. Okay. There's at least one other way to read these two sukkahs. And Benny started to read them as a unit. But I want to cue it up in another way with your permission. Okay? Let's start with the sukkah in Avodah Zarah. First, I wanted to argue that it says that Tom Kikar is the Rabbanan. Now I want to argue the opposite. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tamo umama sho asur velo kinolav, Tamo velo mama sho asur velo lo kinolav. When there's just Tom, it's also asur. Now, does this give you any pause? Rabbi Yochanan uses the same lashon for both asur, suggesting that he intended Malkos to serve as a marker regarding the source of the Isur may not be so compelling. He says Asur both. So he meant, this is Asur D'Oraisa, that's Asur D'Rabbanan, and I'm not even going to say it out loud, I'm just going to say Malkos as a marker? Yeah, it could be, but maybe it's not pshat. Maybe it's not so pashtani. Maybe there's a different reason that there's no Malkos for Tamo Veloma Masho. And we really don't have to look very far. It's all over Shas. Tosfos cites the opinion of the Rei d'Orleans, the Orléans, that there is no Malkos for Tam Ki Ikar, at least according to Shita Rabbi Akiva, we're going to see in a minute, because it's an Isur Aseh and not a Lav. I love that. That's a good phrase, Isur Aseh. What's an Isur Aseh? It's an Isur that comes, it's an Aseh that comes to matir an Isur, to prevent you from doing an Isur. Right? Like, is there an obligation to shecht behemoth? No. Only if I want to eat meat. Then if I want to eat meat, there's an Isur. There's an Isur Aseh. Right? Do we make brachos on Isur Aseh? Yeah, we say bracho on Shechita. Right? Maybe Kedushin. Maybe there's no mitzvah to be married. Maybe the only mitzvah is Peri Rivia. Or Shevis, maybe. Maybe that's the only mitzvah. So why do we make a bracha on Kedushin? It's an Isur D'Rabbanan. No, it's an Isur Aseh. You have to be Mekadish the woman in order to be able to marry her, right? Okay? So maybe it's like Shechita. She's a chetzed isura until you're mekadesh her. Maybe that's the lashon of the bracha.
What's the isur?
Asher, right? Asher lanu, asarusos lanu. That's arusos v'hiter lanus and nesuos. They added lanu to make sure that you don't think they're matir on nesuos, right? V'hiter lanus and nesuos lanu al yidei chupa v'kiddushin bracha to Hashem mekadeshes al yidei chupa v'kiddushin amen. So maybe there's no mitzvah to get married. Maybe only mitzvah is period barivya. Right? Famous Brisker Chakira. Is there a mitzvah to be married? Or just an Isur Aseh to matir the woman? Lamai nafgamina? Somebody gets married. She just say once mazel tov. Or mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov, mazel tov. Right? Because they're mitzvah to be married. Okay? Purim Torah.
Sorry, sir.
Yes, sir.
What would be the Isur Aseh when it comes to Tam then, according to the...
What would be the Isur Aseh of what?
in terms of eating Tom, I mean, what's the comparison?
Because the connection that he says it in is the connection of the sugya in Parak Ve'elu Ovrin Himsafin. The shita of Rabbi Akiva, who learns Tom Ki Ikar, not from Mishras, but from Kiule Midja.
Oh, brother, yeah.
Okay? So what then is this? Rabbi Akiva says, the source for Tam Ki Ikar is Giulei Midjan, right? Giulei Akum. You want to use the Kalim, you have to be Magil then. If Kol Shishimu Shel B'Mayim, you have to put in Mayim. Everything that was B'Fire, you have to Kasher it.
How could that be the source if it's Notitam Lefgam is Mutter Mutter, right? Meaning Rabbi Kiva must be assuming the Giulei Midjan was from the exact same day they got.
It could be. Could be.
Otherwise, how does he understand that Talmud of God?
Could be. So that's a good question for when we get to
So right. Just the bottom line, the Tosfos wants to say that really there's a separate reason why you're not chayav in Malkut, even though Tam Ki Ikar is Midiraita. There's a different operative principle. It's really because there's some sort of Isser Aseh.
Instead of a lav.
And that's a technical reason.
So I'm using that.
You can't get Malkut for an Isser Aseh. Right. You can only get it for a straight up lav.
Yeah.
If that's not a straight up lav, there's an Isser Aseh. It's a technical reason why you're off the hook.
Yafes Sikanta. Okay, now, so what am I therefore using that for? To say that would help me, that gives me a way to read that Gemara, not being a source. Tamo velo mamasho ein lokin aser ein lokin alav. It's still diraisa ein lokin alav because it's an isarase. Okay, I'm borrowing from the Rime Orleon. Okay? Now, so we could read Rabbi Yochanan and be consistent with Rabbi Akiva. Tam Ki Ikar is Dioraisa, even in Shari Suri. The reason there's no Malkos is that this is an Iser Aseh like Shechita. It's a Matir, not a Lav. But that still leaves Rava. So what do we do with him? And we don't have to go very far for Rava either. Tosfos on the Daf in Kol HaBasar comes to the rescue. It's Dibra Maskil, Amar Rava. Derech Bishul, Asra Torah. I'll let you catch up a little bit. Dichuya ba'almahu, Demehacha leka lemelach. Rava Tosfos explains, only intends to be doche Abaye's argument, not his din. It's a dichuya ba'alma. He objects to the proof that Abaye offers that basar b'chalav cannot be a chiddush, not the fact that it is that he's right.
Who says this? Sorry.
Tosfos.
That's what I'm reading.
So is Abaye coming to say? That is Rava coming to say that Basar B'Cholav is a Chiddush? No. He's just coming to say your argument that it isn't a Chiddush, doesn't work. So now we have another reading of the two sugyas that accommodates the notion that Basar B'Cholav in Shari Suri is the Oraisa a filu bisharisur? Okay.
She's Tosfos Shita.
Yeah. Now, I cannot stress again how important it is to view halacha not as a series of disembodied arbitrary opinions, but as a peirush of sugyos hagemara. Now we're ready to look into a third sugya. This one in Psachim. We're going to spend one more, God willing, one more session on Basar B'Cholav. Because I tied it together with Basar B'Cholav. This is also a Hakdamah to Basar B'Cholav, really, when you think about it. We're going to do one more session on, we're going to do all the Shitos Rishoni to understand them on Tam Ki Ikar and make them all fit into all the various Gemaras. The Rambam, the Rashba, Rashi. You see everybody's shita. Not to memorize the shita, but to understand how it is a coherent reading of all the Makoros, because that's what Allah is. Mem Gimel Amud Beis in Safin, towards the bottom. Again, it's Omar Rabbi Abahu, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So we better get these things to read consistently, right? Same authorities. Kol Isurin Shabbatora, Ein Heter Mitzdareif LeIsur, Chutz MiIsurei Nazir, Sharei Amra Torah Mishras. Generally, the minimum shear for an Isur Achila in order to be Chayav is the Kezayis of Isur. Achila is defined by Kezayis. The Torah defines the obligation to bench, say Bracha Achrona, right, on or Birkas Hamazon, according to a different shear, according to Sviya. Chazal come along and say Diraisa because they can't leave it so arbitrary. Before I dieted, I felt there was a chashash I might not ever have been chayav Diraisa to actually bench. So I don't remember ever being Saveya. But now I am. I'm using all my old material. This is terrible. Okay. Unfortunately, I discovered that when I run into the Chag HaSmicha, people show up that I haven't seen for a few years. They remember one or two little bits of Torah, and they remember all the jokes. Okay. So Lahati and I have an evening of learning for Shaktus Talmidim. I have an evening of jokes for me with my Talmidim. Appear in the comedy club or something. Okay. All right. Now, so generally, the minimum shear for an Isur Achila is a Kezayis of Isur. If one eats less than a Kezayis of Isur, mixed with Heter, I've got a cup of, you know, a drink that has in it less than a Kezayis of Nevela dissolved in it, right? If I ate less than a kezayis of Isur mixed with Heter, in order to make a mixture of a sheer kezayis, I'm not chayiv. This is what Rabbi Yochanan means by ein Heter mitzdareif le'Isur in order to make a sheer.
Except for Nazir.
He notes one exception, Isurei Nazir. Here the Torah comes to specify v'chol mishras anavim lo yishteh. You can't consume wine through eating soaked in bread. Now, of course I can't do that. It should be obvious. I can't have the wine. So what does it mean? It means that if you had a shear of kezayis together between the wine and the bread, that's the one time that you're chayev. Heter meets the reif le'isur in order to make that shear of kezayis. So if the priest of bread is sharui, mishras, sharui, in grape juice or wine, and nazir's liable even if there's less than a shear of grape products. The piece of bread combines with the wine to make a shear. Okay? Now, further along in the sugya, on daf mem dalet amud aleph, Gemara asks, the high mishras lahafi hu da'asa? Does it come to teach me ein heter mitzreif leisur only in nazir? In Bishar, in everything but Nazir, that Heter Misurei Fleiser, is that what it comes for? Hai mi baile, don't I need it for the following learned in a brisa, lichtetanya, and this is Mem Dalet Amud Beis, litain tam keikar, that the phrase comes to teach tam keikar, that tam is usher, sheim shara anavim. B'mayim, if you soaked grapes in water and then removed them, v'yesh bahen in the mayim, tam yayin, chayav, you're chayev. Mikan atadan lechola Torah kula. And from here you can abstract to the entire Torah, because ma nazir shein isiro isirolam. It's, you can go to a chacham and get out of the naziris, right? Or you can do it for a period of time. The ein isuro isur hana. It's only, generally they say, sorry, I misexplained. Generally they say yiyeh. Remember, I think Rashi says on Chumash, right? Yiyeh is the what's a stam period in Naziris? Shloshim yom. From the gematria of the word yiyeh, right? So that's the siman, we remember it. So it's not an Isur Olam. The general period is for 30 days of Naziris. And it's not an Isur Hanoah, and it has a Heter L'Isura. You can go to a Chacham in order to find a Petach in order to get out of it. Asabo Tam Ki Ikar Kilayim Shisur Isur Olam has no defined period. V'Isuro Isur Hanoah, and it's Usur and Hanoah, but Ein Heter L'Isura, and you can't go to somebody to be Matir for you. Eino Din Shiaset Tam Ki Ikar. Vuadim la orla b'shtaim. There are two arguments for orla as well. So how do I then use nazir to learn ein heter that heter mitzrei for Easter and Easter ein nazir? How do I use mishras for that? Don't I need it for tam ki ikar? So the Gemara answers, Hamani, who does that follow? That brisa? Rabbanan he. Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Akiva. Where does Rabbi Akiva learn Tam Kikar from? Not Mishras, but from Giulei Mija. Now, so now I have a source that Tam is the Oraisa, the Shari Surin.
That's the Rabbanan, not Rabbi Yochanan.
Well, hold on. No, Rabbi Yochanan holds like Damarke Rabbi
Akiva.
Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva hold?
Akiva holds his
Midya. He also has a source. What's his source?
Klei Midya.
Klei Midya. Right. Klei Midya.
Wait, just to summarize. I'm sorry. So, first one, Rabbi Yochanan says in Pesachim that generally we don't have Isur Mistarf. Sorry, Heter is Mistarf Biyot Isur, with the exception of Mishrat with Nazir.
Right.
Then the Gemara Samar says, well, how can we limit Mishrat to just Nazir? We need a Mishra to teach you Tam Kikar.
We don't need it for Heter Mitzrayfli, so we need it for Tam Kikar. Answer, only the Rabbanan
needs. Which that very question is basically an attack on Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan wants to limit Mishrat to only Nazir, and the Gemara is proposing, well, we should expand Mishrat or not use it for that at all.
No, that's not the thing.
Okay,
it says, I'm glad you asked. Rabbi Yochanan uses that for Ein Heter Mitzrayfli, sir, right?
Okay.
They don't say anything whether Rabbanan agree with him or don't agree with him. As a matter of fact, if you read the continued, this is Zairi, and then there's another opinion and all that. Okay, but we're not interested. We'll come back to Ein Heter Mitzrayf Lisa and where Rabbanan stand on Ein Heter Mitzrayf Lisa. All they're saying is, how can you use it for? And it may be that they hold Ein Heter Mitzrayf Lisa Afilu Bisrei Nazir. It may be.
But they'll have some other source, though.
Yeah, or it may be that they have another source. But it may be that they also hold that Heter Mitzrayf L'Isur ain't Heter Mitzrayf L'Isur also in Nazir. Maybe they do disagree with him. That's not the point.
Okay.
The point is that Rabbi Yochanan holds Tam Ki Ikar also, and he gets it for us. He gets it from, according to that Gemara, he gets it from Giulei Mija.
Like Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah. Now, I'm interested in Rabbi Yochanan Shita, right? Not Rabban. Okay, you'd very well be right. Okay. Here's the point now. Now I got a source in Pesachim that seems to argue that Rabbi Yochanan holds Tam Ki Ikar in Shari Suri. And where does he learn it from? Giulei Mija. Therefore, when he says, Aser v'ein lokin alav, right? What does he mean? Because it's an Isur Aseh.
Even though it's Tira Raita.
Right. So now what do I have? I have everybody, Rava, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Yochanan saying, Tam Ki Ikar and Shari Surin is Tira Raita.
So it doesn't.
The zero b'sheila, doesn't that imply that you know, if it was like if you had tam, which was you know, which was not batel b'shishim, then it would be asmi deraisa, and that's why you need that zero b'sheila.
So what will the other side say about that sugya of zero b'sheila? Ushneim lo lamdua ela mikra echad. What will they say? It's a smachta. Again, they do. They say it's a smachta, right? So, we also, though, if we want to really understand, we have the, in the sugya there, we're going to run into it again in the next siman. In the second siman Torah, we're just going to learn that Zerah B'Sheila, we're going to learn, is the source for, according to Rashi, Ein Mevatlin Yisur L'Hatchila. And it is a chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? Because the Torah tells you lehatchila to be mevatel and iser, right? And iser diraisa, right? By cooking them together, ein b'sheila ela shleima, right? So we're gonna have to fit all that together. So there's still place to lehit kaderbo, right? But so how do we? Let's summarize what we did today. We started out with the sugya in Avodah Zarah that seems to say on a Pashtani level, Tam ki kars lav diraisa. We then saw something that seemed to accord with that in Perakol HaBasar, in the person of Rava. We then saw a third sugya that seems to say the opposite. And we went back to see if we could read the first two sugyas in accord with the third sugya. And it turns out that we can. So we still have to answer, how would those who want to take the first two sugyas, or Avodah Zarah sugya in the simple way that we first read it, and make it the Ikar, what would they do with the sugya in Perek Elu Ovri, Ve'elu Ovri? And here's what they would say, or might say. There are, the Gemara gives two sources at different points for Tam Ki Ikar. Klei Midjan and Mishras. Maybe I could say that those are Shnei Ksuvim Habayim Ke'echad Ve'ein
Lamdu.
So if I want to avoid thus having to follow the sugya in, so I've got two possibilities here. I can start out with Psachim as Pshat, source for Tam Ki Ikar D'Oraisa B'Shar V'Surim, and then explain Rava only as a dichuya ba'ama, which wouldn't be my first choice if it were Rava standing by himself, right? If I were going to, generally, if I have a machlokes between Abaye and Rava, and Rava rejects Abaye, I'm not going to say he only did it to reject the Svari, he did it to reject, right? But I need a reason to say that, and the reason would be that I follow the sugya himself, right? And Rabbi Yochanan, I say, is only because, like the Rimi or Lyon, I say is only because of a
technical
reason of an Isur Asim, right? And I have one Shita. Or on the other hand, I can say no. The Sugya of Avodah Zarah, in a simple level, teaches that Tam Ki Ikar B'Shari Surin is the Rabbanan, is Lav D'Oraisa. Rava says it too. And therefore, I'll say Shnei Ksuvim Rabbayim Ke'echadim Malabdi Himsachim. So you see, there are three sets of sources, right? And we have two disparate ways in order to understand them so far. Yes, sir.
In terms of Shnei Ksuvim Rabbayim Ke'echad, not that only is applicable to the same pasuk or the same halacha teaching you two separate things. So
apparently not, right?
Yes, that's why I'm confused. So, just because I give two different, disparate, distinct sources for the same halacha, how would I apply that as?
Well, because I would say if the Torah came to teach, what's the svari here? And by the way, I think if you want to see this, you'll see it in the Rishonim on the Sifra discuss it, right? Where they do the Yud Gimel Midos. So you'll see, I think the Ravid has in his parish, but I'll check. So I recall the Ravid has a very nice discussion of it in his parish to the Yud Gimel Midos at the beginning of the Sifra, the price of the Rabbi Yishmael, right? But let me give a spark. Can I give an argument, a logical argument, why I would say if the Torah says something twice for the same din, Ein Melamdin?
Okay, sure, yeah.
If it said it once, it wanted me to analogize to the rest of the Torah. When it said it twice, it's because they're both exceptions.
It's twice both exceptions.
If it said it once, it wouldn't say it twice.
It's assuming that one of the two psukim isn't adding something new.
Right, exactly.
Because if it's adding something new, I can still say, no, I'm
right, exactly, exactly. Okay, but is that a logical argument, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
again,
why it had to say it twice.
That do not learn anything new from the second
right,
episode.
Exactly. Okay, now, is that something that I generally would jump to apply, or is it what I call a d'evit answer because I need to fit that sugya in
right.
with the way I'm, right? But here's what halacha is. Halacha is the harmonization of sources. Just like that, and it is, that's what law is, lahavdil. It's the harmonization of sources. It's not history. It's not economics. With apologies to Judge Posner, it's not, you know, social policy or politics. With apologies to the Democratic Party, right? What is it? It's the harmonization of sources. What is Gemara? Gemara is harmonization. I got two Mishnayos. They seem to disagree. Hacha b'maya skinen, hacha here hasamya. I got two Brises. They seem to disagree. Am I saying that that's the pshat of those Mishnayos? No, that's a literary judgment. I'm saying that that's the legal meaning of those sources, and that's how they can coexist, and that's how I learned them. Right? Clearly it isn't pshat, because sometimes the Gemara will actually do something like this. It'll say, oh, gee, there are important words missing, and I'm going to read the Mishnah in another way. I can still make the Mishnah consistent with halacha. It'll say chasuri mechasur v'hafi katani. Is that the pshat of the Mishnah? Not always, right?
So, but just in terms of, yeah. I know this can be a very messy topic. If you don't want to go there, I understand. But if we're understanding halacha and Gemara in general is the harmonizing of topics and the assumption that there's a contradiction between Mishnah and one must be my hachi, zeh hachi. How could the Gemara endorse the notion of elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim? That seems to kind of fly in the face of everything being pure harmony. I mean, Shammai says Asur, Hillel says Mutar, and we're saying the whole notion of Gemara is all about harmony.
So we can look at that. We can look at that and on another occasion and examine whether that is the blanket argument for diversity that and inclusiveness. If there isn't a notion of rabbinic authority, right? Now, here's the point. The point is that Chazal or the Tanaim were careful to preserve the form of the Brisa or the Mishnah as they received it.
Okay.
Right? But there still is the Gemara sometimes. I have a shir on this, by the way, that you might be interested in from the Klol Yerom Hashem. Does the Gemara create halacha or retrieve it?
I thought it was a little bit of both.
What?
I thought it was not either or. I thought it was a little bit of both. I thought some of it is retrieving, some of it is.
All right, so why don't you, I do a sugya in Eruvin that I think suggests that a halachic answer is a systemic, coherent answer, not a factual answer. I think it's a sugya on Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Sugya in Gemara and Eruvin. I have a very, very long shir on that, you know, that a law is reading things coherently. Okay? But in any case, I think a lot of times it's clear to me that the Gemara had a Kabbalah what the halakha was, right? And is recreating the argument in order to try to retrieve
it. Get back there, right?
To get there, right? Okay, but there is a notion of authority in halacha. Okay, in any case, here we're reading these things very, you know, we have three sets of sources, and we have different shitos how to read them. God willing, next time what we're going to do, right, is we're going to look at all, I'll send you a list of Rishonim and where to find them, and we're going to catalog all the Shitas Rishonim. Then we still have to understand one of them is very, very involved, and that's Rashi. Because I still want you to focus on, are the principles of Bitul Berov and Tam Ki'ikar at all related? The way most people seem to understand them, most Talmidim have always understood them, is they are complementary or even sequential. First I see whether or not there's Rove or not, and then I see whether or not there's Tom. Are they related at all? Do they flow one from the other? Or are they just complementary? Are they parallel to each other? Right? Why do I look at it sequentially? Because if there's Rove, I don't know if there's Shishim. If there's Shishim, I know for sure there's Rove, right? And why do Chazal disagree about Min B'Mino? Why is it Rabbi Yehuda versus the Rabbanan? When we finish that, God willing, next time, we will have all the foundational principles for Iser V'Heta, for Taruvos. Then it's a question of definitions. I have a second set of questions that doesn't cover this, covers some of this, but it also is designed to take you through the Shulchan Aruch, which I, God willing, will send out this afternoon. Okay? This is pretty intense, right? Okay? But if we can master this, the rest is really easy. It's really easy. Understand the Yesodos Halacha first, and then we'll fly.
We're going to go back to the Rush and the Rashba in terms of understanding how the Bittul operates.
Sorry, what?
The difference between the Rush versus the Rashba in terms of how we understand how the Bittul actually operates. So Matzi or
yes.
Or
yes, whatever. Whether or not Nepach Ha'iser
Leo
Kulo Hetter. So we're going to, yes.
Okay.
Yes, we will. Okay? But I wanted to first cue up the Tam Ki'ikar Sugya because how that relates, because that comes up in the other thing as well. Okay? All right? Make sense? Okay. Good. All right, so we followed Derech HaMelech for a while. And I assume if you're having any questions or any whatever, you know, for the time being, we don't need to have any kind of meeting during the week. This is fine.
If we want to find you, though, where's the best place to be? You're usually in Boston.
I'm going to be here generally on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Where?
You can either get me through, I'm either in the library, right?
On this floor?
Or in MTA. You can get me in MTA. Because I'm doing some stuff in the Honors College in MTA.
You're in the office at MTA?
Yeah, and Rabbi Gottlieb will know where to find me.
Okay.
So I like to dive a mincha with them. It's a great minion.
Yeah.
Great minion. It's boys are very impressive what they built there. I'm very impressed with it. Yeah. It's a good school. Okay, great. All right, so
Adam, when will you post it?
Later today.
Thank
okay.
You.
Wait, just as a follow up, I don't ask this to share if he's got to go, but I'm still not clear on what the Isser Aseh is when it comes to Tom.